Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. We salute the men and women of the armed forces, past and present, especially those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. As one has said, freedom is not free. I tell you what, one of the most stirring things is when you see the jets flying towards you, and then one veers off, representing those who did not return home. If you've never been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, I would say go to Washington, D.C. just to do that. It is a very humbling place. But we have a great heritage. Nationally, we have done great things. Quite often when there is a problem around the world, in a tornado or hurricanes or flooding, one of the first ones there is the United States of America. We have given tons of food to needy countries. We send doctors on mission trips to help those in need. But we have a great heritage also spiritually. They came to America looking for freedom of religion. May I say, I'm proud to be an American. And I can never repay what I owe. I have been blessed by what has been done beforehand. May I say, this country has been mission-minded. We have sent out missionaries by the thousands and millions of dollars in missions. This land of ours is beautiful. One of the reasons I enjoy going on vacations to other parts of our country is to see its beauty. It's diverse. It's fruitful. It is the envy of the world. We all remember the song, "They're Coming to America." Why? Why do they still come by the thousands? Why are they still wanting to come to our country? We have been so blessed. But let me ask you this question. Will the blessings of the Lord continue to come our way? Just as ground without covering erodes away, so the spiritual fabric of our nation is eroding away as we strip away the importance of the Word of God, downplay the need for gospel preaching churches, and mock God-honoring men and women, replacing them with humanism and materialism. I've said this in the past, I'll say it today, and I'm sure I'll say it in the future. America's problem is not financial. America's problem today is spiritual. We've taken our eyes off the God of America. Our past presidential election showed us that we are more concerned about money than morality. We are more concerned about money than we are about what is morally right. Note this, just as legalizing abortion did nothing to improve our society, legalizing homosexuality will do nothing to improve our society. And you say, Pastor Paul, do you believe it will be legalized? Yes, I do. It will be legalized because when you have humanistic people in places of courts, in places of authority, who have no biblical conscience, it is bound to happen. May I say a few things about some of our past heroes? We've all heard of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Thank God for brave and committed patriots. May I say, we need brave and committed believers today. We need men and women, we need teenagers, we need those who are willing to say yes to the Lord and no to sin. We think of George Washington, who said to bigotry, no sanction, to persecution, no assistance. We need people like John Hancock, who wrote concerning his large signature, he wanted to make sure the King of England could not miss it. Francis Scott Key, who wrote the Star-Spangled Banner in the fourth verse, which we rarely sing, he gives credit to the power that hath made and preserved us a nation, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. Nathan Hale, give me liberty or give me death. John Paul Jones, we have not yet begun to fight. Abraham Lincoln, with malice toward none and with charity to all. And the list goes on and on of men and women who stood for God, for the church, and a Christian nation, contrary to what today's history books may say. We find a rewriting of history, an ungodly writing, removing God from America, forgetting that without God there would be no America. Let's stand together, if you would, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here this day. And Lord, what better place to be than in the house of God on Memorial Weekend? As we think, Lord, of what has been done on our behalf by those who have gone before, men and women who were willing to give of their lives and their fortunes for this great nation, for those who have fought for it down through the years and even today are guarding us. And Lord, we thank you also for those who have gone before us in the spiritual realm, those who were the forerunners of the Covenant Baptist Church, those who were willing to sacrifice and to give. Lord, may we continue to serve you faithfully until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 32, heroes of the faith. Verse 32 says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. When the author of Hebrews, and most believe it to be Paul, was writing, I'm sure that he was writing to not only Gentiles, but to Jews who would have known who these people were. Verse 33 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant and fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others, notice, were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. May I say to you today, are you willing to be persecuted for the cause of Christ? Now you say, well, what do you mean by persecution? May I say this? When you stand up for the Lord, there are going to be things you're not going to be invited to attend. You're going to be left out of certain things. There are going to be promotions that don't come your way. There are going to be things that aren't going to happen because you are a believer. Verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Even though that thought is in parentheses, you might want to highlight that. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Memorial Day celebration has been credited to Waterloo, New York, which is honored as being the birthplace for the modern-day Memorial Day observance. Originating on May 5th, 1866, the day was set aside to honor soldiers killed in the American Civil War. Businesses were closed. People decorated the graves of soldiers and flags flew at half-mast. And, quote, to honor comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, unquote. General John Logan, leader of the veterans of the Grand Army of the Republic in 1868, organized a more formal day to remember the dead, that being May the 30th. In 1971, Memorial Day became a legal holiday and is celebrated on the last Monday in May in 49 of 50 states. As of the writing in which I have taken these notes, Louisiana still celebrates the holiday on May the 30th. How many of you wish we still celebrated on May the 30th? I see some of your hands. It's your anniversary. Brother Jones, you still remember your anniversary, don't you? Just like it was yesterday. Man, that's earning points. How many years? 54. Congratulations. I think that's marvelous. Memorial may take the form of a monument, a statue, a building, a park, or a day. The Arc de Triomphe in France, we've all seen pictures of it. The Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial. We think of the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, the Washington Monument. And as you probably know, nothing can be higher in Washington, D.C. than the Washington Monument. The Statue of Liberty, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, or just a simple plaque by a waterfall where a fallen World War II soldier fished as a boy. I found it in the state of Oregon. We have Columbus Day, Washington and Lincoln's birthdays. We have Martin Luther King Day. Memorial. Some may remember that Memorial Day was once known as Declaration Day. And it was celebrated, of course, on May the 30th. I have fond memories of it when I was in elementary school at what was then Auburnshire Elementary. It is no longer there. For whatever reason, it was torn down. I remember our principal, Mrs. McLean, and what I remember most about Declaration Day is every student got a little loaf of Wonder Bread. Some of you may remember those days. They were just a little loaf, and it was so exciting to get that. I don't know. Why is it you remember certain things from certain periods of your life? Today I wouldn't eat Wonder Bread. I don't even know that they make it anymore. But may I say this, to be a great nation, we must follow the guidelines of the Bible. To be a great church, we must follow the guidelines of the Bible. May I say this, if we had 10,000 in service today and we weren't following the Bible, we would not be a great church. We just would be a group gathered together. And may I say this, to be an obedient child of God, we must follow the guidelines of the Bible. Noel Webster wrote, "All miseries and evils which men suffer from, crime, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war, proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible." Have you ever noticed when talking to a veteran, one may ask, "In what branch of the service did you what? Serve?" When talking to a missionary, one may ask, "In what country do you minister?" To minister or to serve, we all are ministers or servants of our master, capital M, or of our master, small m. Whom do we serve? Matthew 20:28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Are we willing to be a servant for the cause of Christ? Are we willing to be in the Lord's army? The servant's relationship, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price." We that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, our salvation was bought with a price. It wasn't bought with gold or silver, but it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you are His. And we are to serve Him. I believe we are to look like a born-again believer. I believe that we are to act like a born-again believer. I think that we are to smell like a born-again believer. The servant's relationship. We have been bought with a price. Mark 13:34 talks about the work, servant's work. And it says, "And gave authority to his servants and to every man his work." Do you believe that at work every man should work? When I worked for the Arlington Community Schools, no, it was the Arlington Public Schools, let me get that right. The Arlington Public Schools, I worked on what was known as a utility crew. During the school year, if there was a janitor who was absent, our crew would go and do his work or her work. And we would take care of their responsibility. And if there were no absentees, we would then go to certain schools and scrub floors. And one day, a brand new man was introduced to our crew, and we were to train him how to do the necessary work. And we went to some place called Johnson Station. And Johnson Station was the oldest school in the Arlington School District. It had been used for a number of different things. And at that point in time, it was used for what shall we say, the rebellious. Any pregnant girl was sent to Johnson Station. Any guy who was kicked out of school for whatever reason was sent to Johnson Station. So it was so that if you went to Johnson Station, that was not a thing of praise. And so we were going to this school, and we had about 6 or 7 guys, and we were going to be able to take care of it in about 30 minutes. And we went through our work, and we got back in the van, and we began looking to make sure we left nobody. And the new guy was gone. His lunch was still there. I don't know who got to eat that. You know how long he lasted on his job? about 35 minutes in total. That's all we can figure, about 35 minutes from, because we had to drive from the place that we would meet, and we went to the school. He lasted a whole 35 minutes. He was given a task, and he decided, for whatever reason, it wasn't for him. You know, some Christians last about 35 minutes. As soon as they hear that they are to serve the Lord faithfully, they say, this isn't for me. But may I say this, if you have been bought with a price, if you are a born-again believer, every one of us has a work to do. Every one of us. There's the servant's supply. Luke 19:13 says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. First, we're bought with the price. We have a job and he provides. We are to occupy. We are to maintain. May I say this? It should be your desire to see the Covenant Baptist Church succeed. It should be your desire that the Covenant Baptist Church continues to be a lighthouse in Sterling Heights and the surrounding area. It should be your desire. We are to build upon something already established. There's only a couple of our, founding people with us. So we must continue the work that they began. Are you willing to occupy? Are you willing to be used? Number four, there's the servant's encouragement. Everybody likes to be encouraged. Do you like it when somebody says of a project you have done, boy, that really looks nice? My wife has been working me like a dog. And Rudy said, dogs don't work. So I had to change that. So I said to Donna, I said, you have enough work for you and three people. And she goes, well, I have you. And she's not done yet. She's got more plans. But you know, we finished something the other day. And when we were done, she goes, thank you. It looks good. You know what made me want to do? More work? No, it didn't. It made me want to go over and sit down and look at my good work. But you know, you can't go over and sit down and look at your good work if you haven't done anything. We have to be busy. We have to be within the work of the Lord. And we are encouraged to know this from Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The one that gave it the command will not leave us friendless. He is there. He is there for, on our behalf. It's the reward that we can receive that will be most exciting. Now, I must admit, when the job was done, there was no other real reward other than you did a good job. But do you look forward to what the Lord will have to say to you about your work? Take your Bibles real quickly and go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is talking. It's part of the Olivet Discourse. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Now we have received compliments and from our parents, from our teachers, from our coaches, maybe from bosses, maybe from mates, from children, from parents, siblings. But may I say this, there will be no greater compliment than that which is given by our Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. As we ponder those who have given so much for our country, they have served our country well, and we honor them. For those that have served this church, we think of what they have done on our behalf. We desire to honor them. Won't it be great to stand before the Lord and have Him say, "Well done"? Take your Bibles now, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. Paul has served the Lord faithfully for years. Some call him the greatest missionary that ever walked the earth. Some have called him one of the most intelligent men that have ever walked the earth. He was one that was beaten with rods, with whips. He was imprisoned. He was stoned. He was left for dead. Some believe that he actually did die, and God said, "Not yet, buddy, you still got work to do." But he is now about to die. He is going to be taken to the execution block, and he will kneel down and put his head upon that block. And a man, most likely a man, with a very sharp axe will bring it down across the back of his neck. And Paul realizes that lays ahead for him. And notice what he writes to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4. "I have fought a good fight." May I say this? If we're in the Lord's army, it is a fight. Do you know what the enemy is? Number one, the enemy is self. Do you realize that? It's self. Number two, the enemy is the world out there and its corrupting influence. And it's all about us. Folks, it's in our music. It's in our media. It's in our televisions. It's coming into our computers through the internet. It's out there, and we must protect against it. And then the enemy is Satan. And Satan is saying, "Well, what's the big deal? Yeah, you're a good guy. They're a good person. Let them live as they want. The Bible is old-fashioned. It was good enough for your grandma, your great-grandma, your great-great-grandma. But we live in modern days, and we don't really need the Word of God." May I say that's the enemy? Because we need the Word of God. And it needs to be part of our lives. We are in a battle, and Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Now, I must admit, when I was in school, the idea of running track was never part of my life. I have never been a runner. Now, I have run from first to second and second to third, but I am not a sprinter. I'm not cross-country. I'm not one like that, but may I say this, that we are all in a race. There is a race to be run, and it's for the cause of Christ. And unfortunately, too many people are sitting on the sidelines watching the runners go by. We need to be in the race. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith." May I say this? I hope that you keep the faith. I hope that you're willing to serve the Lord until He calls you home. And then notice verse 8. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Now stop reading. Paul said, there is a crown that I'm going to be able to receive from my Lord. Do you know what we as believers are going to do with our crowns? We're going to give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want to give Him something? Don't you want to be able to stand before Him with things to give to Him in honor of what He has done for us? All too many are going to be in heaven. They're going to know Christ as their Savior, praise the Lord, but they haven't done a thing for the Lord. They will have nothing to give. But Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Aren't you glad He includes that, folks? We also can get a crown of righteousness. We also can be given something that we can give back to the Lord. But I think we can only do that if we're willing to serve. Are we willing to serve the Lord? Shall we stand together? Let us be a servant and minister for the Lord, and not a servant of the evil one. In a moment, we're going to sing the song, Almost Persuaded, 379. How many are almost persuaded to serve the Lord? Almost willing to be a part of the work? Almost willing to surrender themselves? But then the cares of the world, or the desires for popularity, or to be fashionable, keep us from serving. How many of us become like Demas, who had forsaken Him, having loved this present world? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that we could be like Paul, faithful to the end. Help us, Lord, not to be like Demas, who loved the world and wanted to look like the world and dress like the world. But, Lord, help us to be like Paul, ever mindful of what You have done on our behalf. Help us to be servants and ministers of Yours. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.